Warning, the views and opinions expressed on the show are those and solely those of the hosts and in no way represent the station from which they broadcast from, nor the DJs with whom they work with.
Alrighty then.
But by listening, you will be enlightened by a different brand of useless information.
Bazinga.
And very modest hilarity.
And that's the bottom line.
It's time to hear from the other guys.
I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, buddy.
Woo! Thank you again for tuning in to this week's episode of The Other Guys Podcast. I'm Baby Huey, joined by Joe Hawk.
Hey, hey.
And the one and only Bimbo Jimbo. And guys, I'm so excited right now because in the studio, it's very rare we get like an in-guest studio, but this is a guy that I think you all know how much I've been a fan of over the last few years.
Oh, yeah.
We have great comedian extraordinaire Mark Ellis. How's it going, man?
I am so disappointed I blew that intro with you guys. Like, I could have been the high note, the soprano in the barbershop quartet, and I totally dropped the ball, boys.
No, it's all good. Well, actually, you see, where you're sitting, normally Chasta does it with us, but she just became a mom a couple months ago, so she's out, but you got to take over her microphone right now. So it's a very, prestige... Yeah, microphone you're sitting in front of? I don't know.
I think I will do.
At least it doesn't smell. So.
Yes, it smells clean. My microphone, I think we talked about this before. Yeah. My microphone, for whatever reason, the, what do you call this? The
sock.
The sock, yeah. It smells like someone's funky bad breath. I'm like, every day, like when I'm sitting at this thing, I'm like, oh my God, like, I need to get some lights.
It's like
or
Sully's back in town. But.
I know, exactly.
I love what's happening with Huey right now because I can tell you're growing. You're becoming like a toddler. You're toddler Huey because you're starting to have demands. You're gonna be the guy that brings his own sock to every broadcast.
I should do that. I've been here for 11 years.
You have like a case, it's like your prize bowling ball. You know, you come in and you spray it down.
It's like Bill Murray and Kingpin. Yes! Holds it above his head.
No, triumphant. Seriously. Well, no, it's like, it's 11 years this month I started working at this station. I think I can start demanding for things.
Wow.
I think I've earned it. I know.
These socks could tell the story.
Yes, exactly. But let's go ahead and get a plug in. So, Mark, you're here in town with the great John Caparillo, who was in this morning with Lamont Antonelli.
Yep.
So you guys are going to be at Cobb's Comedy Club here in San Francisco Friday night, tonight, 8 o'clock and 10:15 show. A couple of shows on Saturday at 7:30 and 9:45, and also Sunday at 7:30, and as always, get your tickets at CobbsComedyClub.com. And Mark, like, I'm still in shock that I'm talking to you right now because I'm so used to watching you on my computer screen or on my phone on YouTube. And like, in case anyone's wondering, your backstory. So you're part of the Schmoes Know podcast. Well, I guess technically the Schmoes Know show now.
It's a little tiny movie empire.
Exactly.
You know?
It is.
We don't have a Death Star. We just have like a cute little outpost somewhere.
That's right.
It's fair to everybody.
Well, so it's a show. I'm trying to think how to describe it. It's a podcast show you do with Christian Harloff, but also you guys on your YouTube channel have movie reviews every week. And these guys know that I watch you guys all the time.
Religiously.
Yeah. No, really, dude.
It's true. Every time a new movie comes out, it's always like your podcast with the movie review that he just saw, too, just like to compare notes.
He's not sure about how he feels about a movie until you tell him, pretty much.
That's true.
The look I'm getting from Jimbo right now is the look I get on most spouses' face when I have fans come out to see me do stand-up. Because the one, like, it's usually the guy will be raving, like, dude, I love all your stuff. And then the woman's like, I listen to your voice constantly.
Honestly, Jimbo is like my, what'd you say, my on-air?
I'm your work wife.
Work wife.
Yeah.
Honestly, when
that's pretty Seinfeld
now. I have one of those named Christian. So.
No, actually, you would appreciate this. Whenever I can't find a date to a concert, I take my brother or Jimbo.
Yeah.
Jimbo and I, we went to see Van Halen, which I know you're a big Van Halen fan.
I haven't even told Baby Huey this, is that our promotions director, when we were at Guns N' Roses last week, she came up to me. She's like, oh, who are you here with? I was like, I'm with Huey. And she's like, yours date? I was like, yep.
She said that?
Yeah.
Where was I? Was I in the restroom at that point?
Yeah, you were somewhere else, you know? Oh. So she was disappointed in you that you brought me, Huey. I'm flattered.
You're a prize, Jimbo. Come
on,
we know that.
I appreciate that.
I got to get a quick review of the Guns N' Roses show.
Oh,
it was insanely awesome.
Phenomenal.
I hate hearing that because they're playing
LA last night.
They're playing Dodger Stadium last night and tonight, and I would be there.
And you're up here with us.
Our friends at KOOS, you know, they hooked me up with Van Halen tickets when they played the Hollywood Bowl, and they were like, oh, you know, Guns N' Roses coming. I'm like, I'm going to be on the road.
Oh, my God.
It's a bummer, man.
I mean, honestly, they came on right a few minutes after 8 o'clock on time, which is shocking considering Axl Rose's history. But they played over 2.5 hours.
Yeah, they're close to 3-hour show.
Yeah, I mean, they play all the hit songs we want to hear. They came out with It's So Easy into Mr. Brownstone.
That was by far an amazing transition.
And You Could Be Mine, that's the song I wanted to hear because I'm a huge fan of Terminator 2. So they did that.
Budnick.
Great knowledge.
And then they did Civil War, and Jimbo was a big fan of that. Actually, I whispered in his ear, and you would appreciate this, I'm surprised Marvel did not use that song in Captain America's Civil War.
Or at least in like the promo stuff, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of hoping for it.
That would have been, I didn't even think about that. That would have been great. Yeah. That is one of the most epic songs on Use Your Illusion 2. The only thing that bugs me about is right at the end when Axl says, "What's so civil about war anyway?" It's like, we got it, dude. It's like the end of The Departed, spoiler. When you see the rat go across, we already understand that there's rats in this movie, Marty. We got it.
That's right. And then they end it with Night Train. And then the encore, Patience into the Who cover of The Seeker, and they ended with Paradise City.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We don't want to rub it in.
I know. Yeah. Not too much.
To be honest, I've been so spoiled with concerts in my life. Like, my sister's only 2 years older than me, but she was really the one that guided my hand as far as getting into concerts that I really should have been too young to go to.
Yes.
So, like, in the early 90s, when I started to become of age, I got to see a lot of great grunge bands, a lot of great alternative acts. I saw Screaming Trees, Soul Asylum, and Spin Doctors on one show.
Screaming Trees?
Near the Virginia Beach Amphitheater. Then I got more into classic rock. She took me to see Aerosmith on the Get a Grip tour, which they were just a machine at Hampton Coliseum. It was unbelievable. And then as I started to matriculate into college and stuff, I saw more like jam bands kind of stuff, like Allman Brothers, things like that.
Yeah.
And then I've always been a Monster Van Halen fan. They've always far and away been my favorite band. So finally getting to see them for the first time in 2007 when they got back with Dave the first time.
Yeah.
Saw them 3 times on that tour, 3 times on the A Different Kind of Truth tour, and then getting to see him at the Highwood Bowl. It's like, it's just something inside me like just comes awake when I see that band, and I can't really describe it.
Well, the thing about Van Halen, just this past tour they did, just to give Eddie credit, he looks healthy and he's just playing amazing. I mean, I know he's got the full gray beard and goatee going, but he just sounded awesome. I mean, during Eruption, I was like, finally, he's nice and sober now, so I can't wait for them to come back again. Hopefully it's in the near future.
Absolutely, man.
But Mark, I mean, like, the other thing why these guys know I'm such a big fan is, not only is you do the movie reviews on YouTube and also stuff with Collider Movie Talk and just everything with Collider, which I love, which I'll get into in a bit, but you do a lot of work with our sister station down in L.A. You just mentioned KLOS 95.5 with Heidi and Frank, and I was telling these guys earlier, I had a chance to meet you 1.5 years ago, but I was kicking myself to this day that I couldn't get, I totally passed up on the opportunity. So about 1.5 years ago, we were down at the Grammys broadcasting for it. And since KLOS is our sister station, we were just stuck in one of the production studios, and we walked in, and this is something I was like, oh, we should be doing that up here. But they have like the welcome sign for the guests for that morning. And I saw Schmoes. No. And I was like, oh my God, they're here. I love these guys. Like, I watch them all the time. But we were on the air live at the real time. And I think Dennis Hoff from the Bunny Ranch was in there. Huh. I think.
As always.
Yeah, I was distracted at that time. They had some hot girl in there. But
if there's one guest from the Bunny Ranch you don't want, it's a dude named Dennis.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll introduce you to him. He's a great dude.
I'm sure he's got good contacts. I like the name.
Absolutely. And then I think even Carlos Mintz. Yeah, a bunch of people were coming through there. But later on in the morning, I went to the restroom, and I saw you guys in their little green room. Creeper.
Oh, not in the restroom. Okay.
This is not a James Hetfield situation.
Yeah, that picture of me and James Hetfield will live on forever. But have you seen? I got to show it to you. James Hetfield. Okay.
Is that the picture on your Facebook?
On my Facebook.
So you had somebody take a picture of you while Hetfield was peeing unbeknownst to Hetfield. That's what it looked like from the picture.
So, okay, a quick backstory. James Hetfield came here in the studio last November to announce their night before the Super Bowl show at AT&T Park. And I told him about this story, how I ran into him a few months earlier at a Metallica night at AT&T Park. And I went to the game. I was on the field taking photos of them and stuff. And then after the game, I snuck up into our suite. And after the game, I was walking out, and I see James Hetfield come out of his suite. And I was like, oh my God, it's James Hetfield. So I hand my phone to the promotion director, and I tapped on the shoulder. I was like, hey, James, Baby Huey from the Bone. Can I get a photo for our The Bone website? That's always my go-to.
It's a good one, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Such a great lie.
Yeah.
For me, just to show it off. But he said, yeah, sure. So we took a photo. I was like, all right, thank you. And then I had to go to the bathroom. So I ran to the bathroom, and I'm taking a leak, and I'm washing my hands. No one else is in there. All of a sudden, the door comes swinging open. James Hetfield comes walking in, and he starts taking a leak. And I have my head down. Yeah. You know what I'm going to
story.
And then I look over, and then I'm just staring at him. And then I realize 5 seconds, I'm staring at like a rock and roll god taking a leak right now. What's my life come to? But it was totally awesome.
Straight up Ricky Bobby. I wake up and I pee excellence right there.
You creep on people in bathroom in general, though. Like when we left like the screeners and stuff like that, was it? We've seen Lars a couple times, right. And Huey comes out of the bathroom, like, Lars is in there.
That's right. No, we went to the Suicide Squad screen a couple weeks ago, and yeah, Lars is always at the superhero screens with his kids, so that's something.
Oh, okay.
He's a big superhero fan, or at least he takes his kids there, so it's good parenting.
So I can tap him on the shoulder. Hey, Lars, it's Mark from the Marvel website. I just need a picture for the promotion.
Absolutely. Exactly. Totally. So I realized, oh, crap, I don't want James to turn around and see me staring at him because, like, he just saw me 30 seconds earlier. So I quickly wipe up and get out of there. So I tell him this story on the air, and he just looks at me, like, shocked, like, what the hell? So anyway, I was like, hey, can we reenact that photo in the restroom? He's like, yeah, sure. So he was totally game.
And he hasn't been back since.
Yeah.
But wow.
I give James credit. He was super cool about that. So
I took a leak next to Bruce Willis one time. That's my big celebrity. Yeah, I was at the Comedy Store, but luckily I was already in mid-leakage.
Yes.
When Willis comes
there it is.
In.
So he really pissed next to you.
He was creeping on me.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he comes in there, and like if I saw John McClane at a stall, I probably wouldn't even go up next to him because I don't want to get stage fright in front of, you know,
yes.
This is a guy who kind of solved the Nakatomi thing by himself, and I don't want to, you know.
I was like begging him, like,
but I was just like, you know, and I swear, if the thought had come in my head, I would have said it, but I didn't think to say it. If I had remembered to say it, he comes up and I would have said, welcome to the party, pal, but I didn't. And I swear to y'all, next time if I ever get a chance to pee next
you
to Bruce Willis,
you do
so.
It.
If there's one thing Bruce Willis loves, it's sequels. So maybe I get to pee next to him again.
That's awesome. But so when I saw you at KLOS, I walked by, but I was super nervous. I didn't know what to say. I mean, it's like I've dealt with so many rock stars and celebrities here at work, but it was like, I don't know, for some reason, seeing you guys in the room, I just like kept walking by. I didn't want to like wander in, like, hey guys. You don't know me. I'm some guy from San Francisco radio, but big fan.
It's like
but,
a shark waiting for you to go to the bathroom. That's what he strikes.
I actually think you could pull that off, though.
What?
Like, just walking in and being like, hey, by the way, big fan. I'm Baby Huey. You have a charisma to you. I think you could have pulled that off.
I think I could try to, but
I think you're two in your head, man. I think that you're so good at talking to huge, famous rock stars. When you come across a mid-level regional YouTube celebrity, that's when it rope-a-dopes you.
That is true. I'm like, wow. But after that day, I was like, man, I should have went in there. It's like I was just kicking myself. So jump ahead now. When I saw you coming to town, I was like, I'm not going to let this opportunity pass. So thank you, Gibb, just for making the time for us schmucks down here.
Oh, man, I'm thrilled to be here. And if after the interview you want to take a picture of me while I'm taking a leak, I will have to go.
That should be your recurring thing now.
Totally good with that.
A thumbs up with every...
you go to Huey's basement, there's just photos upon photos of celebrities taking a leak.
Showing a scrap like that.
1 hour photo.
Thank you. 1 hour photo.
Yeah, really, really.
Well, honestly, not
like that, like this.
Well, no, because later tonight, I'm going to the Disturbed Breaking Benjamin concert, and I'm meeting up with our Warner Brothers contact, not the name drop or anything, but... I'm working on... I want to get Green Day here in the studio because I know they have a new album. So if Green Day could come in here, that's my all-time favorite band. If I can get them in here, I would love
all
to try to
read them at a stall.
All three at a stall. That's my next goal. But Mark, I kind of wanted to ask was, just first off, how did the whole Schmoes Know thing get started?
I mean, we Christian and I knew each other because he did stand-up for about 10 years. And,
really?
And he was like one of the bigger stand-ups in the L.A. scene when I moved out there. So we kind of became pals that way, and we were just aware of each other. And then we started hanging out more. He taped a pilot that he cast me in a small role in. And then after that, we hung out more, and we got the offer to review TV shows for this channel called Current TV.
Yeah.
I think they're based up here,
they
actually.
Were
up here.
They were by the ballpark.
Al Gore Station, right?
It was Al Gore Station. Yeah. And he had nothing to do with our show. And so it started that way. And then they're like, well, you guys were good reviewing these TV pilots. How about you do movies? So they would send us a flip cam at the time, and we'd just hold the flip cam up. And when we had a show development with them, and when that didn't go through, we decided, hey, let's just try this YouTube thing. You know, see movies. We have pretty good chemistry, so put it on camera together, and the channel started growing very slowly but surely, and it turned into this thing. So we still look at the YouTube channel as the hub of Schmoes Know.
Okay.
And then all these different offshoots, like what we do now with Collider on a daily basis, with Movie Talk or with the live show. So everything else still comes from our YouTube hub.
Gotcha. So then the podcast eventually came out of that. I mean, initially doing the movie reviews. And then you and Christian started doing the weekly show as well.
Yeah, I mean, we started out. Our producer was our buddy who we called Cheese, John Cheeser, and he just had two mics. So you know, he showed up and he would engineer it for us. And then that was phase one. That was in Christian's like spare room / nursery when his kid was born. And then we just started to graduate to different recording studios to where we are now at Collider.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. You guys do phases. What is it? I mean, I've listened and I'm like, okay, phases. I remember. Was it last phase you were at? Was it AfterBuzz?
Phase 5 was AfterBuzz, yeah.
Yeah, and then you moved studios to Collider now once you guys partner with them. Is that what phases are, just when you go to a different location?
Or? Just to something to let our fans know that, like, hey, we realize how much we're moving around in Southern California, but don't worry, it's all part of a master plan. And like Marvel does their phases, you know, they have phase 1, I think they're closing up phase 3, so we're good, and we're just going at a faster clip than Marvel. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying we got twice as many phases under our belt as they do. So that's we're doing well.
So, and then.
And not an Iron Man 3 among yours, from what I can tell. So,
no. We're into the game. We make sure we will end a movie well, okay?
There you go.
By the way, this is the biggest Captain America fan you'll ever meet. Wow. So,
I mean. So, I'm a huge Captain America fan, but I mean, you know, there's psychos out there. So.
So, no, he likes to rub it in that, yeah, Captain America is the only, would you say, Marvel superhero to have 3 great movies?
So far.
Yeah, so far.
Andy, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Civil War yet, he KO'd the Jesus out of Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man, so won that fight.
Well, I mean, he had some help from his psychotic drinking buddy
as opposed to, you know, that suit, which really did everything for Robert Downey Jr. So
Winter Soldier's just that guy. That, like once Captain America gets married, he's never allowed to hang out with Winter Soldier again.
That is true. He's the bad influence friend.
Steve, I love you. I want to have a family with you. You cannot hang out with Bucky anymore. You guys go to Vegas and he just goes nuts.
That is true.
You become a different person when you're with him. You really do.
But also with the Schmoes, so when you guys started doing the podcast, I mean, I think I first really got into it was with the Toad Hop Network. Mm-hmm. Which with was that Frank's?
That was phase 3, and that was how. I mean, Frank and I actually met because I was doing another podcast with my buddies Josh McCouga and Justine Marino called Three's Too Much, and we just show up and just, you know, verbally masturbate for an hour and have fun and high five.
We do.
It was a good time, man. It was a lot of fun. We did that from Frank's garage, and that was when Toad Hop was just getting their footing, and then when they moved into the studio, I told Christian, I was like, hey, I got a good place for us to take this show. So he met Frank, and then he and Frank started doing most of the business, and I'll never forget this, because Frank was huge in getting us back to Toad Hop, because we got some other, like, what looked like a Godfather offer, and and I remember talking to Frank on the phone about it. I'm like, dude, we got to go try this. And he's like, hey, I get it. They have a lot of shiny toys. He's like, but when that thing fails, and it will, because you guys have a lot of talent, we like you guys, give me a call, and you can come to a show whenever. And I've never forgotten that somebody put their neck on the line for our show like that.
I actually had a conversation with Frank about that. Yeah. We went to this convention last year in Chicago called Morning Show Boot Camp, and we went to a Cubs game, and afterwards, Frank and I were at the bar down there and just kicking back a few, and so I started picking his brain about Toad Hop, and he was kind of telling me a similar story about that. So it's really cool he does all that for you guys. But so then from Toad Hop, that's when you went on to the AfterBuzz TV studio, right? So that was just for one phase, if I'm correct.
It was a phase, but I mean, I think we were there for a good year, and that was that was a really good partnership as well. And they had a really nice studio, and they kind of helped, you know, model the look of the show that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then because of all the cool stuff that we were doing over at Collider, it just made sense for all parties to consolidate our show and our thing, because now we shoot our YouTube show from Collider. Mm-hmm. So that's like our entire studios, to the point where I have an office. And I'm actually happy about it. Because like, my whole life is set up to avoid ever being in an office again. Like, I break out in hives. I'm actually in an office setting for too long.
Yeah, yeah.
But because I got to move in there, they let me put up my Young Guns 2 poster. Then, you know, I feel like I can work there on a somewhat full-time basis.
Well, so is that how, because of the popularity of your YouTube channel, is that, and you eventually got certified for Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And then that's... did you guys get on AMC Movie Talk? Because before Collider, it was AMC Movie Talk.
It was AMC Movie Talk, yeah. They were in concert with the theater chain. And then that deal expired, I believe. And we still, like, AMC still sponsors segments of Movie Talk. Yeah. So we're all good buddies. Yeah. But Collider is starting to branch out and do their own thing. They're launching a lot of new shows. Christian's been very instrumental as the director of development over there, like getting new shows off the ground. And I just kind of sit back and, you know, help out when I can and roll out of bed, talk on camera for a little bit. It is not a bad way to make a living.
No, Austin, I was telling these guys, like, you really carry Movie Talk. I mean, as far as just the humor.
Thank you. You know, it's not easy.
Well, no, because you're on there, almost 3 to 4 times a week, depending on your schedule.
Yeah, Christian and I each do about 4 times a week over there. And and it really is fun. It's such a fun setup. And it's coming from a stand-up background, it's so fun to occasionally get really passionate about a story, but other times you can just step back, see something funny, take the shot, and it's great, you know? And it really washes the stand-up hand, which is still my bread and butter. It's still my passion. Yeah. It's what I love doing. That's why I still go on the road as much as I do.
And then that's what I was going to ask is, like, I noticed, you know, some Schmoes Know is done Thursday nights, and I know sometimes you're not there, and I put two and two together. Oh, you're on the road at that
point. Such
a
bummer, too, because it has to be Thursday nights, because we can't do Monday through Wednesday, because we always have a press screening, so we can't miss the movie screening. Yeah. And Thursday night, it's kind of like a nice kickoff to our fans of the weekend. Like, most of our fans do not show up to work on Friday. You know, they hang out, they watch our show, they have a few beers, and they're just like, I'm going to call in sick this week.
Nice.
So it really is a bummer to not be in town more often, but they're so good at carrying the ship without me. They barely notice when I'm gone.
Well, I was going to say, the team is...
don't even know.
Well, the team has expanded. I mean, you got, like, the four people in the main room, and then off in the other room, you got, like, 2 to 3, 4 other people in there. So, I mean, it's amazing how big this team has grown. And that's another thing I just wanted to give you kudos for. I've really been inspired seeing what you guys do down in L.A. as far as taking, like, a YouTube channel but expanding it to, like... I'm trying to think of the best way to describe for our listeners. It's like almost like a TV network in a way, as far as you guys really changed what traditional broadcasting is. As far as, I think in the past growing up, it's like if you want to be in TV, you got to start a small market, go to a medium market, to a large market. But like in today's world with streaming and everything, you guys are able to be personalities on YouTube and like broadcast to everyone. And to me, I love watching. It's just such great content. I mean, is that something for you guys to realize that we have something really special here and it's reaching people differently than a TV show would have?
Yeah, and it's nice that you can control your own destiny a little bit more in the sense of determining what you want to program. Because I liken it to if you're a news reporter, you always start out in a small market, then you hope you get enough tape to move to a mid-market, then you go from mid-market to mid-market, then you hope to one day get that call from New York or L.A. or Chicago or somewhere like that. But with YouTube, what we were able to do is say, okay, we want to do this. We want to get a lot of content out to our fans. We want to comment back to everybody that talks to us. We want to be as interactive as possible. We want to be as consistent as possible. So over time, that starts to snowball and give you a little bit of cachet. So it really was a labor of love, and it took a lot of time and effort. But, you know, the results are starting to speak for themselves. And so it really does help that we do have a great team around us now, that we have a little farm system, you know? Like you see a guy like a Cobster or an Ace or a JT, and it's like, these guys can play some double-A ball. Let's get them up to triple-A. Let's put them in the show, see how they do. And they're doing great. It's awesome. It gives me a lot of faith in them. So where when I'm out of town doing stand-up or Christian needs to go on the road and do something, then they're going to take care of the show.
Hold down the fort. No, absolutely. I love everything you guys are doing. Just as far as I was like, well, we have a whole digital team upstairs and we have like this Levi's lounge upstairs. I was like, we should be doing something similar up here in the Bay Area. I just feel like the opportunities there. So I don't know. That's something I might pick your brain at afterwards. But
as soon as the mics are off, I'm the only guy that carries that show. When I'm out of town, it goes to hell so quick.
Nice. Well, I mean, if you have time, can we talk some movies stuff real quick? I mean, that's like seemed like your big expert.
Plug the stand-up shows and I'm leaving. I'm out of here. No, let's do it, man. I'd love to.
Well, I guess for us, we love talking about the superhero movies so far. Yeah. So I'm just curious from your perspective. How would you rate the superhero movies that came out this year so far between like Deadpool, Batman v Superman, Captain America: Civil War, X Men: Apocalypse, and Suicide Squad? If you could like rank them,
let's start with the easy ones. Let's start with how great Civil War was.
Good man.
It was amazing the way that they told such a like intense political story, but they also injected the brand of Marvel humor in there when you didn't expect it. Seeing guys like Black Panther and Spider Man come in there and have a limited amount of screen time, but knock their segments out of the stadium was awesome to watch. I thought that was the best superhero movie of the year, but man, Deadpool is giving it a run for its money.
Deadpool, that's my choice.
It's just something that was it started coming out of left field, but everything from the marketing campaign, which just had such brass balls from start to finish. It was just so funny and inventive. And then for a movie to come out and live up to the hype that it had generated was something I've never seen before, because you always see a lot of hype behind these movies, but rarely can it actually live up to it when you just sit back and watch the movie. Mm-hmm. I was laughing. It might be the best comedy of the year, too.
Deadpool might be. That's very true.
No, we went to the screening that night. It was a Super Bowl week, and we had so much fun.
We saw Cuba Gooding Jr. off his ass.
So, because Super Bowl was up here, and we were broadcasting down at Radio Row, and
he's promoting the OJ show.
And so we went to the bar across street from Radio Row, and it's also next to the movies. And we're getting dinner, and we see Cuba Gooding Jr. in there, and
he's having a great time.
But it was cool. Like we gotta get to the Deadpool screen, but we were like, we all got a picture with him. He's super nice to us.
Juice, please.
Because hey, it's OJ. Oh my God! But it was
show
a lot of
me
fun.
The money.
But Deadpool. Yeah, it was such a fun night seeing that movie.
Yeah,
I can't wait for the sequel.
And yeah, I'm excited to see Cable.
Yeah. Whoever they cast for it. Mm-hmm. There's rumors going right now, but nothing confirmed yet. So after Deadpool, what else were you thinking of? I mean,
that's when it gets a little murkier because X-Men Apocalypse is a movie I liked, but the more I think about it, I'm like, that ending kind of, it's starting to bug me a lot. But I think I still enjoyed that more than Suicide Squad or Batman v Superman, which I didn't think were terrible movies, but they're going up against these comic book movies, particularly with Civil War and Deadpool, that I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
And a lot of fans don't want to believe this, but what I do when I see a movie is I take the Marvel or the DC brand off of it, and I just watch the movie.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people out there that think that you go in wanting Marvel to succeed and wanting DC to fail. It's like, I don't. Batman is my favorite comic book character of all time. So getting to see him, not only on screen, but go against Superman and then team up him and Wonder Woman, I was like, this has got to be one of the best movies of the year. Mm-hmm. I was so hyped for it. It let me down. I wasn't crushed leaving it. Like, I actually still have a lot of faith in what the Justice League is going to be, what Wonder Woman's going to be.
Yeah.
But the movie itself, I could not rate it fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay. I think that the climax of that movie, the fact that a woman's name is so instrumental in that film is beyond ridiculous to me. And Suicide Squad is something that I think it just got messier as it went along. And I said that I loved Suicide Squad, the team. The movie that they're in, not so much. But
as soon as the mission started for me, it all went to hell. Like, they should have been on a much more Dirty Dozen styled mission. It just everything as soon as they were done with the intros and everything like that, it was just like it all just evaporated.
It was like they realized that this is a comic book movie. This is comic book source material, so we got to have a comic-y kind of villain
Let's throw a bunch of stuff up in the sky, and you know it's going to do something at the end.
Just even that big shootout scene in the middle where Will Smith's Deadshot was taking out everyone, all the, what's those blubbery...
Like the putties from Power Rangers.
Minions. Every superhero or supervillain has like those minions that go off and defend them.
The pawns or whatever.
Yes, that's what it is. Disposable. I remember I yawned twice during the middle of Suicide Squad. And I'm like, I love superhero movies. I yawned twice. I don't know if it was a long day for us. We were out there and I don't know, maybe because Lars was sitting behind me.
I saw it again. and again, the first like 45 minutes of that movie are phenomenal. Like I enjoyed it thoroughly. It was all cotton candy from there. But I got to ask you about X-Men Apocalypse because, man,
lay it on me, Jimbo.
I take severe issue at like, with J-Law Mystique and what they're doing with Mystique in general in the cinematic universe. Like, I was trolling my Uber driver on the way over because I was going with a lady. He was this very nice guy from Eastern Europe, but he was an X-Men fan because he happened to ask us what movie we're going to see. He was like, oh, you know, I'm very excited to, like, see that movie. I was like, yeah, you know, and so I'm trolling my friend because she knows I actually hate how what they're doing with Mystique. I'm like, yeah, I'm so excited to see like Mystique lead the X-Men. And he was so perturbed. He's like, what? I was like, yeah, don't you know? Like, she's like one of the focal points of the X-Men. And he's like, oh, it was never like that in the comics. So I was like, wait, you mean to tell me it was never like that in the comics? Huh? Why would they do such a thing? And so, I mean, I take issue with the fact that, like, look, Jennifer Lawrence is great. She's America's sweetheart and the whole deal. And But I feel like they did an about face after she got so popular. And they really, I mean, she's not a member of the damn team. And she's like, you know, leading the danger room scene. She's like all the, like outside of Xavier School. That's the great hero. That's the great. Give me a break.
I mean, I never thought I'd hear these words come out of my mouth, but Rebecca Romijn is a better actress as Mystique than Jennifer Lawrence.
She was a better Mystique.
Because Jennifer Lawrence, I thought she was good as Mystique in First Class.
Yes.
And it seems like it just, as she got more famous, and I'm not necessarily blaming her because who wants to go through all that stuff, all that makeup? You signed a contract when you were young and you were not in the place you are now, and then you owed a certain amount of movies to Fox. I get that, but she really wasn't playing Mystique in this, but she was maybe playing Misty in this movie, but not full on Mystique. Yeah. And it's a bummer that they decided to focus on her so much because she clearly, I don't want to say she clearly didn't want to be there. I think it was a little bit of DHL UPS mailing it in just a little bit. There was a little bit of stamp licking going on in that role.
They cut Beast balls off when they made the love triangle between like Charles Magneto and Mystique in the second one, and only I just, you know, and I'm sorry, you're gonna complain about being painted blue. I'm sure it sucks to sit on a bicycle somewhere and get painted from head to toe in blue. But then again, I don't have $20 million in my bank account from my entire life's work, let alone from one project that I do for several months. So, you know, I mean, suck it up.
I mean, any of us would be happy to go to a makeup chair and they paint us blue. Because
Kelsey Grammer flew in secret for 30 seconds, and I appreciate it. That is dedication. You want to talk about method? Boom. That is it.
We got Frazier off the bar stool, and we got him in here.
That guy's had to go through heart attacks after shows being canceled, but he was willing to be painted up like Beast again for 30 seconds. I appreciated that.
Kelsey Grammer sitting around with his buddies. They're all talking about, man, what would I do for $20 million? And he's like, I actually did it. I actually did it.
So, okay, after that, Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad, where out of those two?
Bottom of the barrel.
I know. It's so tough because I might have to give the tiebreaker to Batman v Superman simply because I loved seeing Batman so much.
Yeah.
And I thought the limited amount of screen time Wonder Woman got, although I didn't think she needed to be in that film. I thought she was one of the highlights for sure.
Why give away the reveal of her in the trailer?
It was a huge marketing mistake. And I think they realized what a big marketing mistake it was. And I
That's
hope
such a
they
big
don't
applause
do,
line.
They, if they do the same thing, because we all can kind of surmise that Superman's coming back for Justice League. But if you give us Superman in the trailers, the fans are going to riot. It's like, guys, the movie's called Justice League. You're seeing Batman in it. You're seeing Wonder Woman in it. It's going to sell out every seat in the house opening weekend, okay? You do not need to throw Superman and maybe his new black suit into a trailer. We're going to go see the movie.
I'm hoping for 90s mullet. I don't demand much. You sit in your chair and you get painted blue without complaint, and you give me 90s mullet, and we're good.
I want that classic 94 Van Damme hard target mullet. That's what I want.
But I was going to say, I like the ultimate cut. So that kind of gives me the edge over Suicide Squad, the extra 30 minutes.
And I've heard that from a lot of people. I have not seen the ultimate cut yet because I've heard the additional scenes are great, but the crux of my issue with Batman v Superman is the woman's name. And because of that, there's no additional. You could have 30 minutes of Cindy Crawford making out on a beach with Heidi Klum, and I'd be like, yeah, it's great, but we still got that whole thing to worry about.
No, that's absolutely true. The movie still has a lot of flaws, but that extra 30 minutes definitely fleshed out more of the rivalry between Batman and Superman as far as Clark Kent as a reporter finding out more about Batman. He doesn't like
what he thinks, and
more of how Lex Luthor's been like master puppets behind
Lex Luthor.
I know, and that's a whole nother issue. Mm-hmm. But I was going to ask you, so what movies are you looking forward to the rest of this upcoming year?
Well, there's a movie that just had a trailer drop called Arrival. Not The Arrival with Charlie Sheen.
also a great movie.
Which is, he looks great with that goatee.
No, my intern was just talking about that today as far as It's oh my god. It's like with aliens and what was he telling me? He was walking out the door and he was telling me about it.
I gotta jump in. So I collected wrestling figures and I lived with this guy that worked at a movie theater. Or he lived with my brother, rather. He would take all of my wrestling figures and turn them all around on their body, and he would just go, "It's the Arrival." it was not until I saw the movie that I realized what the hell he was doing.
That's great.
So, but that movie, that's one you're looking forward to this year?
That's one that's on my mind right now. I mean, Obviously the big one for me is a huge Star Wars honk is Rogue One. Yeah. I mean, I love the trailers I've seen so far. I don't care if there's reshoots. There's reshoots on every big movie.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's going to be fine. Like, I don't care if they say, "Hey, guys, we got to reshoot. Is on December 9th. Okay, the movie comes out the 16th. As long as it's good to go by then, I do not care.
Absolutely.
And that Passengers is something I'm really interested in. Assassin's Creed.
Doctor Strange
looks great. I think that this Magnificent 7 remake might be a lot of fun in September, too.
With Chris Pratt and Denzel in there. Yeah. That's going to look cool. I think so.
And I'll be honest, I mean, even on the strength of Civil War, it's been a disappointing summer as far as movies go. It's even the movies that I was like, this is a surefire can't miss. Were just okay. Like Jason Bourne wasn't great. It was just okay. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that, it bugged me because I love going to the summer movies and gaining 20 pounds in popcorn weight and then losing it all watching Hard Knocks in late August. But I think that the fall, there's going to be some good Oscar kind of movies. The Girl on a Train, The Accountant, which also has Ben Affleck in it. There's going to be good movies this fall.
Nice.
I promise you.
What was the biggest disappointment for you this summer as far as the blockbuster movies?
It's hard for me to say anything other than Independence Day Resurgence. It was bad.
It was so, well, it's weird because remember we were at Radio Row for Super Bowl and all those guys were down there promoting it. And I was like, oh, maybe.
Well, we had one of our sports update anchors run up to Bill Pullman and be like, "Excuse me, sir, I just got to tell you, you're my favorite fictional president of all time." So.
He's like my third favorite real president of all time, you know? That's so funny. But yeah, I mean, I was talking with my buddy Dennis Zen, who hosts Collider and runs the behind the scenes there. And he actually, we all went to go see Independence Day the Thursday night it came out. And that happened to be at midnight. It was his birthday.
Oh, okay.
And he was turning 40. And
nice.
He's like, "You know what? I hate that movie more than any of you guys because I had to sit in that theater and turn 40 years old." And then I was like, "Dennis, in that theater that night, we all turned 40 years old." It was just one of the worst film going experiences I've ever seen. I've never seen that many different ways to butcher a movie.
Mm-hmm. But also, like what you're saying, like a little bit of disappointment. I saw your review on Sausage Party. I went to go see it earlier this week. Great laughs, but it just not continuous, kind of lost like halfway through the actual storyline.
Yeah, not as consistent as I wanted it to be.
Still hilarious, though. Uh-huh. That last scene, of course, just kept going and go. These guys haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it. I missed the screening.
I mean, believe us when we tell you, it's even if you're not having a great time, stick with it until the end.
Okay.
There's this great place that's right around the corner from me in North Hollywood called Dog House. German House, like HAUS.
Oh, okay.
And great, like, you know, gourmet hot dogs and chicken dogs and turkey and all that stuff. And they were promoting Sausage Party. You know, so they have like a sausage party, dog and everything. After I saw it, and I go there like all the time. I eat there way too much. And I saw Sausage Party. Then I went there on the way home that night and I was eating. And halfway through my hot dog, I was just like, this feels weird. what I'm doing to this thing right now.
I'm looking forward to Hands of Stone. I think the screening for that is this Monday night.
Yeah.
I want to see that one.
Yeah, that looks real good.
Yeah, it's because my brother's a diehard boxing fan. Mm-hmm. And so I'm actually going to try to take him to it. So looking forward to that one. I guess we could talk movies forever. There's so much to talk about. Just for next year, just out of all those, because next year they jump up. I think Marvel has three a year, and I think Fox is going to do a couple, and DC a couple. Just which out of all the superhero movies next year, is there one in particular that's standing out for you that you're excited for?
Two that stand out to me are Wonder Woman, and because I saw a little bit of, like, we all saw that trailer, and I didn't love the way the trailer was cut together, but the footage I saw blew me away. And then Thor Ragnarok is something that, because it's Thor and Hulk teaming up and going on like a road trip together, and maybe that road trip leads to some Planet Hulk stuff, so that is going to be epic. And then there's all this talk about Episode 8 maybe being moved up.
Yeah.
To May?
Really?
I saw that on your guys' Collider channel. Like, is it going to be this May? I didn't have a chance to watch it, but are they talking about this coming May?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Really? They're that far ahead on production?
Yeah, because John Williams is already scoring it, so that means they already have a pretty good working cut of the movie. I'm sure all the effect shots aren't done yet, but they've finished principal photography. They'll probably have to go back and do some sort of reshoots at some point, but to know that we could see Rogue One and then think about having Episode 8 coming out in 6 months, and that also means that we're probably going to see some sort of like teaser or something sooner than maybe we thought. We would, which, I mean, those are my movies. I'm a diehard Star Wars fan, and I'm a diehard Luke Skywalker fan. So getting to see what's up with Episode 8, it's just like...
That was my biggest disappointment from Force Awakens. I mean, I kind of felt it coming that I was not going to get a lot of Luke Skywalker. But in the build-up, I was like, man, we're going to see venerable, old, badass Jedi Luke. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm so stoked. Yeah. And then we got to see him give his, like, furiously masturbating look. And then so I was like,
And he did so much press, too.
For
Force Awakens. And we get, like, 2 seconds.
He looks sick. So.
That is what I was thinking, is, like, because he's got that, like, robotic-looking hand. And I'm like, so he got his hand fixed. Then he just masturbated away in the flesh. And I'm like, you know, I understand it.
You disturbed
me. He was all alone.
Yeah.
Not a lot to do.
When, at the end of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, when he goes and he sees the knight that's just been in that little room for 800 years, it's like, how many balled up tissues and porn mags is that guy hiding behind?
Some skeletons there too, I'm sure. Yeah.
Indiana Jones is looking in the cups and he sees all these like, oh boy, that's a, I guess you had a cold that week? What's going on here, buddy?
Nice. Man, well, Mark, I mean, we could talk forever about all this stuff. I mean, just kind of in closing, I was just curious, what's next for you guys? Because I know with Schmoes, when you partner with Collider, you guys really expanded operations. I mean, is there any other big plans coming up as for the next phase, or you can kind of maybe tease us on?
There's a lot of exciting stuff coming. And what I can tell you, I mean, my philosophy in life and in my career is just stay on the court. Like, I play pickup basketball still like 2 or 3 times a week. And so the only thing you do when you're playing ball is you just want to stay on the court.
Yeah.
That's all you want to do. You just don't want to lose. So as long as I can stay on the court and keep doing what I'm doing, which is, you know, be a presence at Collider and with Schmoes, and then continue to tour and do stand-up. I have some cool things that are in the works in the stand-up realm, too.
Nice.
I can't quite announce yet. So, it's under wraps like Episode 8 is, but hopefully our release date for some of these things can get ramped up as well. So, we'll see.
Oh, no, I look forward to anything and everything that you do. Like I said, these guys know how much we're big fans of you, and we appreciate everything you do down there. It doesn't go unnoticed. I mean, between all the number of subscribers you get and just... We love watching everything you guys do, and it's very entertaining. So
we love you, but Huey worships you.
Yeah.
So don't ever.
That's just a really prolonged explanation of his.
And Huey, I'll be honest with you. On behalf of Christian, we just want to tell you that if you ever see us in the green room at KOS, don't go in there because we do not want to. We are way too busy doing
blow. Wait till they go to the bathroom
and hanging out with models. Wait till he catches in the urinal like all the other big time celebs. You know?
Wait, there's Matt Pinfield just walked by. I swear.
Oh, was that him?
That was him. Oh my God, not to go off track. Where'd he go in real quick?
He's just wandering.
Should I yell it for him? Okay. He's probably walking down the hall. We'll wrap up here.
It was circular in the office. He might just be doing laps. It's a good way to get exercise. So.
See, that's him doing it in the lap around.
Can we put up some like Olympic finish line tape and then he can run through it, feel like a champion?
They do a slow-mo.
But we encourage all listeners, go see Mark Ellis this week at Cobb's Comedy Club with John Caparillo. Two shows tonight, Friday night, 8 and 10:15. Saturday, 7:30, 9:45. And also Sunday at 7:30, CobbsComedyClub.com. And everything for Mark Ellis, go to MarkEllisLive.com. You're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Everything for Schmoes Know, SchmoesKnow.com for all their social media. And also Collider.com for all the... YouTube, all that good. There's so much of you out there.
Is there anything we're missing?
I know. I'm trying to think.
Can we have your home address? Just put out his home address.
Yes, okay. Get that down.
Just need like a king's hand to come out with the scroll and, you know.
These are coming to our dates. But Mark, seriously, thank you again for making time for us. And like, honestly, we started our podcast a couple years ago, and part of it, you really inspired us to do this thing. It's like, we see how much fun you guys have down there. We're like, we could totally do that up here. So,
oh man, this news comes when I'm just thinking about quitting the whole business. No, I got to keep going to inspire all you kids out there. Fine, I'll continue to do it. It's great hanging out with you guys. Thank you guys for having me in studio and reaching out. And it's great to talk with like-minded folk about fun stuff.
Absolutely. Until next time, have a great weekend. And Yeah, looking forward to next time you come back to the Bay Area. So thank you again.
Let's all see Guns N' Roses together next time.
Yeah. Dude, they are going to come back because next year's the 30th anniversary of Appetite.
Of course they're going to.
They're going to do arenas.
I'm serious. I will drive up here. I will fly up here.
Hell yeah.
Let's all go do it together. And next time Pinfield does a lap around, let's get him to take a
picture. Absolutely. We're going to go have Matt Pinfield right now. Yeah. And everyone else, have a good weekend. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Other Guys podcast. Be sure to follow the Other Guys on all their social media pages. Facebook.com/TheOtherGuysPodcast. Instagram @TheOtherGuysPodcast. And Twitter @TOGPodcast. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. And of course, check back to 1077thebone.com. for new and previous episodes of The Other Guys Podcast.
Party on!